Lieutenant Charles Brown and his crew had just flown a mission into Germany in their B-17 Flying Fortress called the Ye Olde Pub. They had taken heavy fire from German fighters. One of the crew was killed, several were injured, and the plane was barely flying. Their compass had become damaged in the battle, and it was leading them further into enemy territory instead of back home. Lieutenant Brown was desperately trying to keep his plane in the air and get what was left of his crew home to safety. After being spotted by the enemy, German fighter Franz Stigler was ordered to shoot down the damaged plane. But as he got closer, he saw what a terrible state the plane was in. He also saw how desperately the crew of the Ye Olde Pub were trying to keep her in the air. Franz could have easily shot down the struggling plane and killed all aboard. Instead, in an incredible act of mercy, he decided to guide them to a safe zone outside German airspace. He even saluted Lieutenant Brown as he left them in peace and headed back to inform his superiors that he had shot down the enemy aircraft. Stigler risked his own life by sparing the crew of the Ye Olde Pub. Nearly 50 years later, Brown tracked down his savior, and the two became fast friends until Stigler died in March 2008. Charles Brown passed away just a few months later. Now, I found this story while researching for this sermon, and I just couldn't pass it up. I thought it was just an incredible story of the human spirit and the kind of mercy that we human beings are sometimes capable of. Well, if you like titles for today's message, the title for this message is, Do You Have Mercy? Do You Have Mercy? Brethren, we live in a harsh and angry world. And it seems like anger is everywhere you turn. Quite often, people just don't get along very well. You know, people get in fights at stores and in public, and road rage is a big problem. You can watch videos all day long about incidents of road rage on the internet. And it seems to be the norm for people to assume the worst in others. You know, just listen to the news. They have all these commentaries and panels and they immediately make assumptions about people's motives. Democrats versus Republicans and vice versa. Fox versus CNN, if you will. And it seems that there's a universal bad attitude so many times coming from different sources. You see it in the workplace a lot. People are many times so judgmental and harsh toward each other, especially when a contentious situation arises. Well, how about us? How do we react when contentious or controversial situations arise? What is our go-to? You know, do we automatically assume the best, or do we automatically assume the worst in people? Are you a judgmental person or a merciful person? Which would you consider yourself to be, or maybe somewhere in between? What's your initial reaction when a controversial situation arises? Do you give people the benefit of the doubt, or do we judge people harshly? Well, the thing is, we do have a choice, brethren. The question before us today is, do we show mercy? Do we show mercy? So before we get into the meat of the sermon today, let's start off by reading just a few scriptures that talk about the mercy of God toward his people. Because as Christians, we are to be emulating God and emulating Jesus Christ. And we want to have that attribute, that trait in our lives. So let's turn over to Psalms chapter 145. We're going to read a couple psalms and one place in Micah. With Psalms 145, we're going to read verses 8 through 9. 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Okay? Psalms 25, verse 10. Psalms 25 and verse 10. Very simply put, very short and sweet. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. So we can see that the Lord is full of mercy and truth, but there's a caveat. There is something that we are required to do, and that is to keep his covenant and his testimonies. Now let's flip over to Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. says this: Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. So we could read other places where it talks about, as far as the east is from the west, you know, there's another psalm that talk about that, that talks about that. He will pardon our iniquities. So, brethren, we are called as Christians to become like Christ. And if we truly want to emulate our God and Jesus Christ, we need to really acknowledge the fact that God is a merciful God, that mercy is one of his traits, one of his attributes. And so for us to be like God, we have to adopt this trait into our lives. We have to practice mercy in our lives toward each other, toward our fellow man. Now let's look at a good example of the heart of God. And this is a scripture that we're very familiar with. It's the parable of the prodigal son. But this was a parable told by Jesus just to express to us just how much God loves his people. So let's turn over to Luke 15. We're going to read verses 11 through 22. Again, the parable of the prodigal son. We're not going to read the whole thing. We're just going to read the part that pertains to what we're speaking of today. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11. It says, Jesus continued, There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Then in verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. So this son went out into the world, and not only did he waste his inheritance, but he also lived a very immoral life. But when he truly repented, his father welcomed him with open arms. And this is what God's love is like for us. This is the kind of mercy that he has for us and wants us to emulate and show toward each other. Now, if we were to look up the word mercy, you might find definitions such as this. And this is one of my favorite definitions. It goes like this: a disposition to be kind and forgiving. A disposition to be kind and forgiving. It also could be defined as the compassionate treatment of those in distress, especially when it is within one's power to punish or harm them. So the compassionate treatment of those in distress, especially when it is within one's power to punish or harm them. Now, the word mercy here derives from a medieval Latin word, merced or merces, which means price paid. So I thought this was a very interesting definition, price paid. So according to this definition, there is a price to be paid for which mercy can be shown, kind of like a debt. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. We're going to read what we commonly refer to as the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to be reading from the King James Version because it's very interesting the way it puts it when it comes to this idea of mercy and this idea of a debt. So Matthew 6, verse 12 says, And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Now we know that's talking about sin. We could turn over to Luke 11, verse 4, where it puts it this way: "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." So this is obviously indicating that when we sin, we owe God something. Now we know that when Jesus died, he paid the penalty for our sins, so we don't owe it in that way. But we still owe something. And what we owe, brethren, is repentance. So likewise, when someone sins against us, it's in a way they are indebted to us. They owe us something. How many times have you heard the words, "You owe me an apology"? I'm not saying that that's the proper attitude that we should have when we are wronged. You know, a better approach is to show mercy and forgiveness. But this concept that we are exploring today is the idea that when sin is committed, something is owed. Something is owed. Something must be paid. But this concept of debt is quite interesting as it relates to mercy. So let's turn over to another parable that Jesus told in Matthew 18, verses 21 through 25. Matthew 18, verses 21 through 25. So Matthew 18, beginning in verse 21. "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' Now, here Peter thinks he's being gracious by offering this seven times as an option. But Jesus surprises him by giving him a number that basically means that it's limitless, you know, the number of times that we are to forgive. Verse 22, Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven.'" So again, limitless. He's saying that he's not putting a limit really on the number of times that we are to forgive forgive each other. Verse 23, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now I'm sure like me, you've heard the various different calculations of exactly how much money this was. But by all accounts, this was an incredible amount of money. You know, one that could not possibly have been paid back in a lifetime. So verse 25 says, "But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt." So this is interesting because it doesn't say he just forgave part of the debt or he said, "Pay me what you can." He was moved with compassion and he forgave the entire amount. And that'll come into play later. Verse 28. "But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which isn't a lot of money. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what had been done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that he had done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will also do to each of you from his heart, does not forgive his brother his trespasses." So the understanding that we should glean from this is that since God has forgiven us, you know, the incredible debts and sins that we have committed against him, should we not be able and willing to forgive the smallest sins, you know, that we forgive, that we commit toward each other? And if we're not willing to forgive each other, then God will not forgive us. Now it says that the king was, quote, moved with compassion as the servant pleaded for mercy. And I wonder, how often, brethren, are we moved with compassion toward our fellow man, toward each other? But this is the kind of mercy that God shows to us, that even where we don't deserve forgiveness, he has mercy on us. And we don't deserve it. We don't deserve the forgiveness that he has granted toward us. But he still has mercy. And I think that we all agree that we want God to show mercy on us. We don't want to be judged too harshly for our own sins and mistakes. So what do we do to avoid being judged too harshly? Well, let's turn over to Luke chapter 6, verses 36 through 37. Luke chapter 6, verse 36 through 37. Beginning in Luke 6, beginning in verse 36. It says, "Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." And then it says this, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." So we could also turn over to Matthew 5, verse 7, where it says something similar. You know, the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." You know, it's very easy to fall into the habit of judging people harshly. And I think that's something that we tend to fall into. And we see it all around us. We see way more judgment more often than we see compassion. And so, when faced with a controversial situation, whether it be with someone in the church or someone outside the church, we do have a choice as to how to handle it. And we need to ask ourselves, do we approach these things from a position of judgment or from a position of compassion? See, mercy is a way of thinking. It's something that needs to be in our thought process. In the legal sense, mercy often refers to compassionate behavior from a person in power, such as when a judge shows clemency or leniency or mercy during a sentencing. Now, we may not be in a position of power per se, but we do have the quote, power, if you will, to forgive or not forgive, to show mercy or not show mercy. Mercy is power, and we do have a choice, brethren, when we're faced with situations. And, you know, we really should take the time to look at ourselves, deep within ourselves, and just take stock of who we are, who we have become, and ask ourselves the question, am I a judgmental person? And if we have found ourselves in that position, you know, you have to look at yourself and go, yeah, maybe I am. Maybe I do judge things too harshly sometimes. We can change that, brethren. We have the power to change that through the Holy Spirit. If you're a negative person, sometimes we find ourselves being that. I have been in that way at times in my life, where the glass is half empty type of attitude. And it can be very hard to break that habit, but it can be done. And one thing we can do to assist in that is simply just to give people the benefit of the doubt, especially when it comes to each other in God's church. It's easy to assume the worst, and it's just a bad habit to get into. And as I've gotten older, I've come to realize in my relationships with especially with people in the church, that we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same position. We're trying to obey God. We're trying to serve God in the best way that we know how. We don't do it perfectly. Sometimes we let our emotions get the best of us, you know, when we're faced with a controversial situation. But we're all trying to do our best. We're all trying to walk with God. And if we can just look at each other and go, hey, I'm you, and you're me. It's like looking in a mirror. If we look in a mirror and we see the other person, then it's much easier to show compassion, much easier to show mercy. Because we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same position. We're all trying to serve God and to walk the walk and to talk the talk. We all make mistakes, but we have one purpose that drives us. And the thing is, things are not always what they appear. It depends on the lens through which we're looking at it. We should really try to see things from the other person's perspective, as Pedro mentioned in his sermon today. Now, we may not always agree. We may not agree with the position that someone else may take. But at least we're able to understand where they're coming from. But wait, you might be thinking, isn't there tension between mercy and personal responsibility? In other words, aren't there times when people need to be held accountable for the things they do and say? And of course, that's true. There are sins that we can't just gloss over. There are things that we can't just sweep under the rug. There are always consequences for blatant sin against God. But we don't always have the power to enforce accountability. And that's where forgiveness comes in, when there is true repentance. It does not hurt us in any way to extend grace, to extend mercy to those who really don't deserve it. After all, isn't that what we have received from our God? We've received that same grace. We've received the mercy, and we don't deserve it. We need to adopt the policy that if we're going to err, it's better to err on the side of being too gracious, too merciful, and too forgiving, rather than being judgmental. And I think this is a policy that we could all benefit from. Let's turn over to James chapter 2. We're going to read verse 12. I'm going to be reading from the Living Bible translation on this one. James chapter 2, beginning verse 12. We're going to read verses 12 and 13. James chapter 2, verse 12. It says, "You will be judged on whether or not you are doing what Christ wants you to. So watch what you do and what you think. For there will be no mercy to those who have shown no mercy. But if you have been merciful," and this is interesting the way it puts it here, "then God's mercy toward you will win out over his judgment against you." I'll read that again. God's mercy toward you will win out over his judgment against you. Other versions say, "For mercy triumphs over judgment." For mercy triumphs over judgment. So the idea here is that mercy wins out against judgment, knowing that where mercy and judgment seem to conflict, mercy's going to win. And that's good news for every Christian, because God's mercy toward us will triumph over his judgment of us. And of course, with the understanding that we have true repentance in mind, in our hearts. We deserve to be punished for our sins, but God had mercy on us when he sent his only Son to die for us and took that penalty upon himself. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's turn over there real quick. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 14 through 16. It says this, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And that's the beautiful thing that we have, brethren, as Christians in God's churches. We have the ability to come before God's very throne and obtain the mercy that he so freely gives, to obtain help in time of need. I mean, this is who God is, and this is who we need to become. So what does it really mean to show mercy? What does that look like in everyday terms? To show mercy means to have compassion for someone who should be punished or could be treated harshly. And do we not have these incidents in our lives when people do legitimately mistreat us? And they should be punished, and they could be treated harshly for what they've done. But to show mercy means to have compassion in those situations. It means showing undeserved forgiveness or kindness. To show mercy is to offer relief to someone who's in a miserable state. Because see, mercy and compassion are intertwined. Mercy is actually the fruit of compassion. Mercy is a gift given to someone who is suffering by someone acting with compassion. Compassion leads you to have mercy, which is like forgiveness. And if you have mercy on someone, it's like you let them off the hook, so to speak. Sometimes we have to do that. Not hold them fully accountable for what you could, or let them off the hook or be kind to them in some way. Mercy consists of treating people better than they deserve from us, because that's the way we get treated from God, isn't it? Mercy is extended to an offender in the form of forgiveness. In any case, mercy can be characterized as compassionate treatment of those in distress, whether that distress is caused by guilt or penalty of sin, because sometimes we do bring things on ourselves, or by a debilitating physical condition. But mercy is there to help. Well, as we begin to wrap up this message, I'd like to close with about seven things, seven items, seven ways to show mercy. The first one is this. Number one, be patient with people's quirks. Be patient with people's quirks. It's not hard to become easily annoyed with people's quirks. But just remember that we all have quirks, we all have faults that can annoy someone else. If you've been married for any length of time, you know that that does exist. We tend to have these little things that annoy our spouses, and we learn those through time, but we need to be patient with each other's quirks. Number two, help anyone around you who is hurting. And I like this point because it may seem a simple point. It may seem something that's, that's obvious. We should help those around us who are hurting. But we tend to be really, at heart, selfish people. And so we tend to get caught up in our own lives. And it takes a special person. It takes someone to really, takes time. It takes effort to actually focus and really have an ear and listen to people when they're hurting and have that compassionate heart to be able to reach out and to be ready at a moment's notice to reach out to someone who's hurting. And we can't be caught up in our lives that we don't take the time to care about people, to truly, genuinely care about people. And I think for some people that's a gift. You know, they just seem to be able to they just have that natural compassion. But that's something that we all need to strive for, to be able to show that compassion to people who are hurting. Number three, give people a second chance. Give people a second chance. We need not to assume the worst when people offend us. Most times, people are not evil. Now, they don't come from a place of malintent. Often it's a case of misunderstanding. Often it's a case of just different viewpoints, different points of view. But hasn't God given us many, many chances? He's given us many, many chances and forgiven us of many things. So who are we not to extend that same grace to those who have offended us? Number four, do good to those who hurt you. Again, very simple point. Do good to those who hurt you. And it may be difficult and it may seem impossible sometimes because when we're hurt, that's the last thing that we're going to think about doing is doing good for someone who has hurt us. And if we had time, we could go through the many teachings of Jesus who taught us to go the extra mile, to turn the other cheek, to return good for evil, and to not do in kind to those who have hurt us. And really, this is more for our benefit than it is for theirs, because there have been plenty of studies that show that it's not healthy for us to harbor ill will towards someone. It's much more beneficial for us that we let those things go. Number five. Be kind to those who offend you. Be kind to those who offend you. It's never beneficial to return tit for tat. And we should extend kindness to all those who offend us, knowing that we ourselves have offended others, haven't we? We've all done it, most often unknowingly. We don't typically offend someone intentionally. We don't typically do that. But we are selfish human beings. And when we offend someone, it's because we're looking out for our own interest, typically, rather than the other person's interest. And we've all done it. We've all been there. We've all done that. So let's remember that and show kindness to those who have offended us. Number six, give the benefit of the doubt. Give the benefit of the doubt. Often things are not what they appear to be. And it often depends on the lens through which you are looking, Are you looking through a positive lens or a negative lens? We shouldn't automatically assume that someone's actions are coming from a place of malintent. Because if you're looking at that mirror and you're looking at yourself, you know that you don't do that. You don't hardly ever come from a place of malintent. You don't intentionally hurt someone. So why would we assume that the other person is doing that as well? So don't automatically assume that someone's actions come from that kind of place. There could be more to the story. And number seven, the final point, don't assume the worst in people. Again, we're looking in a mirror, and we're all striving to make it into the kingdom, to please our God, to please our Lord and Master. We all make mistakes, and we don't always handle things in the right way, but we don't come from a place of evil intent either. So we shouldn't assume that our brother does as well. So, brethren, in conclusion, we live in a harsh and judgmental world, and we shouldn't let the influence of this world affect how we treat others, especially those in God's church. We see so many examples of God's mercy toward us in His Word, and that is something that we need to strive for. That's something that we need to emulate as we seek to become more like Christ. Mercy is treating someone better than they deserve, just like our Heavenly Father does toward us. God forgives us of our sins where there is true repentance, and we should be ready and willing to do the same toward each other. We should strive to show compassion over judgment, to show mercy over condemnation. Things are not always as they appear, and so we should try to see things from the other person's perspective and not assume the worst in each other. We all have one purpose in mind and in heart, and that is to please God and be in His kingdom. So let's treat each other with the same mercy and compassion that God has for us.